Welcome into another edition of A Pickaxe to Grind. It's a special episode as we sit and we wait as the Denver Nuggets are going to be appearing in their first ever NBA Finals after sweeping the Los Angeles Lakers. A lot has happened throughout these playoffs, but overall, the Nuggets have been flat out dominating. And I didn't see a sweep coming over the Lakers, especially after, you know, the first game was a battle. I mean, honestly, all the games in this series were a battle. And so for me to predict a sweep, that's a hard thing to do. I honestly thought this would go six games. I thought Denver would take care of business at home. The Lakers might take care of business on their turf, maybe split, then pull off some kind of miraculous win and force a game six at some point. But no, there's a lot to unpack here. Let's start with Nikola Jokic. That's where you start with the Denver Nuggets. He was crowned the MVP for the Western Conference Finals, the Magic Johnson Award, an award that Nikola Jokic could absolutely give two blanks about. And yet he wins it again. So he's got now two MVPs. He is a Western Conference Finals MVP, and he is the best player on a Nuggets team that's punching their ticket to their first ever NBA Finals. So the resume really stacking up over the last couple of seasons for the Joker, and he's putting himself into those great discussions. And I'm talking great discussions as far as where is he right now in terms of great overall basketball players. He's moving up. He's moving up the rankers as we talk every single day. He breaks some kind of record. And this series really elevated him. Although, yeah, some of the national media still don't want to recognize the guy. They want to talk about the Lakers more. They want to talk about this being an easy road for the Nuggets, an easy road in the playoffs. It's just not the case. I mean, the tunes have changed so much throughout these playoffs. When Kevin Durant went to Phoenix, the Suns were the favorite. Everyone to represent the West. The Suns were going to be the team to beat. And so looking at that, we go, okay, well, the Nuggets are going to have to face probably Minnesota in the first round, likely going to see Phoenix, and then likely going to see a Los Angeles or Golden State team that was getting hot at the right time. So when I looked at that at the beginning of the season, I said, man, that is going to be a daunting task for the Nuggets. And if they come out of this thing, they will have earned that right to get into the NBA Finals. And yet they beat the Suns in six, they sweep the Lakers, and the narrative has changed to, well, yeah, but Phoenix, Kevin Durant wasn't with this team long enough, blah, 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 the Lakers have issues. You know, it is what it is at this point. We can get frustrated with it, but bottom line is the Nuggets are going to a championship. That's good for us. We enjoy it. And Nikola Jokic has been the leader of this team for the good chunk of it. He was my player of the week. Surprise, surprise. Jamal Murray makes a case. He was very good in that series. But Joker was the constant. You know, 30 points for him, 14 rebounds for him, 13 assists for him in that final game, in that closeout game, in a game that they were down by 15 at the half. Yet they come marching back, found a way, and make the defensive stops necessary to advance, beating the Lakers 113-111 in LA. Absolutely huge. So congratulations to this crew, Michael Malone, and let's talk about Calvin Booth, and let's talk about the Kroenkes too. I mean, Stan and Josh Kroenke. Stan owns the Los Angeles Rams. They own the Colorado Avalanche. And now the Nuggets? Well, they, of course, not now the Nuggets, but they're going to be very well decorated when it comes to team owners after it's all said and done with what the Nuggets can potentially do. They'll be going up against either Miami or Boston. Miami was up 3-0. Boston has now won the last two games, winning last night. We're recording this on a Friday morning. But the Celtics are not dead. Their history could be made here. Find a way to win on the road in Miami on Saturday night, I believe. And whew, look out, game seven in Boston. So, but that game six is going to be the battle. That's going to be the difference right there. Can Miami win at home, close this thing out, and stop history from happening. And then we'll find out who's going to be that matchup for the Nuggets. I mean, just for rooting purposes, you're probably wanting the Miami Heat to win this thing. The matchups, they're not very big. Joker should eat like crazy against a team like Miami. Boston would prove to be a little bit more of a challenge, and Boston's hard to figure out. Very surprised that they're down 3-2. Very surprised that they were down 3-0 at one point. But the last two games, they've played a lot more like we figured they would play throughout the course of the season and once we got into the playoffs. So we sit and wait. No matter how this thing turns out, it won't. The finals will not start until June 1st. So the Nuggets won't be playing until Thursday of next week. So they're going to have what? When we get to Thursday, it'll be 9 days off for the Nuggets. Yeah, the concern is, does that halt the momentum at all? Does that hurt a team that's been just absolutely rolling through these playoffs? You know, maybe at the start of the playoffs, I would say anything like that might rock this team. But the Nuggets have proved throughout these playoffs that they are just that good of a team. They are that disciplined of a team. They're not going to be held down for long. They've only lost three playoff games this season. They lost twice to Phoenix, and they lost one game in Minnesota. Undefeated at home. I mean, the accolades for this team continue to just blow me away. So let's talk about how it went down for the Nuggets and the Lakers. Well, that game one, remember, Denver was dominating the game. The Lakers come storming back, but the Nuggets make the key plays late, and LeBron James has a turnover late. Again, this defense coming up absolutely huge when they need to the most, and they hang on. That was a big night for Jamal Murray, 31 points for him. Joker did his thing, 34 points, 21 rebounds, and 14 assists. And you held on to a game that felt like, uh-oh, the Lakers have got all this momentum. So the Nuggets go up 1-0. Then the narrative turns to, okay, yeah, but that was the Nuggets' best shot. And the Lakers almost come back and win that game. So you get into game two. And more, I mean, this was a closer game throughout. The Lakers had a lead at the half. But Denver, thanks to an amazing fourth quarter, outscoring the Lakers 32-24, found a way to get game two. And remember, that was also a Jamal Murray night where he went absolutely off in that first half. He ended the game with 37 points, but I think he had like 30 in the first half. And the Nuggets win 108-103. Big night for your big three. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. has been right around that 15 points per game mark, but a lot of his threes, a lot of those were very timely as the Nuggets were either making a comeback or looking to pull away. So they get game two. Game three in LA. I thought, man, if Denver finds a way to get this one, then this thing is over. Maybe this was the game I'm thinking of with Jamal. I don't know. They're all running in the same. This was the game where he had like 30 in the first half. He had 37 points in that game. Joker with, you know, his statistically his worst game in the series, 24 points, 8 assists, and 6 rebounds. You still held on. You still found a way and got the job done. They were up big after the first. The Lakers come storming back, made it interesting. Third quarter was back and forth, again, tight. But the Nuggets had another solid fourth quarter. Look at the fourth quarter, save for game one, where they were outscored 34-26 in the fourth. Look at these fourth quarters. Denver outscored LA 32-24 in the fourth in game two. And in game three, Denver outscored the Lakers 35-26 in the fourth. And winning game four wasn't the dominating fourth, but the third. They outscored LA 36-16. And that was the huge difference. So it has been the second half, the fourth quarter in particular, that the Nuggets have turned it on. And I think that was a concern at the start of or throughout the season was, okay, third quarters have kind of been rough for this team. Finishing games sometimes was difficult. But at the end of the day, I mean, they were 53-29. It's hard to say that they had a lot of struggles with that. But this is a special basketball team. And Michael Malone in that game four, I mean, he only went too deep with his bench, basically saying, guys, starters, you're going to have to play a lot because we want to close this thing out. We want the time off. We felt like there was unfinished business. Back when we played Phoenix, Denver thought, I mean, everybody thinks they can win. Denver really thought they would win those two games in Phoenix. And I think they took that out on the Lakers, finding a way to just close this out. They were going all in. This was a situation when you're down 15 at the half, you think, okay, you're up 3-0. Live to fight another day. Don't push too hard. Just load up and get ready to win this series at home. But then you forget, oh yeah, this team's special this year. This team is a special team. The most special Denver Nuggets team we've ever seen in their franchise history. They come back, blow it out in the third, close it down. LeBron James tries to tie the game, but thanks to Jamal Murray reaching for the basketball and Aaron Gordon being ready to contest any kind of a shot defensively, the Nuggets stopped him. And what's even more impressive was Joker's playing with five fouls throughout a good chunk of the game, a good chunk of the second half, or fourth quarter, I should say. So Malone risks it, keeps him in. Joker played smart, couldn't play very aggressive on D, but they found a way to do it. It's a special team, guys. Really fun to see. The star of the series, yes, was Joker. Jamal Murray had his Murray flurries, a little bit more than that, on steroids. Still want to see some consistency from him, but I ain't complaining. He just swept the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. Remember, the Lakers team in history that has always been in the way of the Nuggets and their goal of achieving greatness and getting at least to the finals. They did it in the 80s with Magic Johnson and the Showtime Lakers against Alex English. They did it in 2009 with Kobe Bryant, another one of those great Lakers, great players, one of those GOATs. Melo was on that team, but you couldn't get past it. You lost 4-2. The bubble, well, you had LeBron James. I don't think that Lakers team, or even this Lakers stretch the last few years, will be remembered or even close to the category, you know, the greatness factor category that Kobe's and Magic Johnson's Lakers had. But still, LeBron James is still historic anytime you're going up against him in the playoffs. So the Lakers knock him out of the bubble. And how fitting is it? How poetic is it that the team that knocked you out and just was that much better than you, even though you were Alex English's Nuggets, Melo's Nuggets, and then even that bubble team, they were doing historic things too. But every time they just ran into a little bit better, maybe a much better Lakers team. So for Denver to not only win the series, but to sweep it, Nuggets fans going crazy for this one. And I think a lot of times it brings up the past. It brings up all these past Nuggets where we have these lengthy discussions just about, you know, how special this really is. Just, you know, kind of going through the players here. Talked about Joker. He was averaging a triple-double. He's been averaging a triple-double for a long time now. It sure seems like he missed it, I think, the regular season by just an assist maybe. Jamal Murray, I love the guy. You know, he gets a little feisty with the media when they talk to him about the bubble and his performance. You know, and he still says things like, what do I got to do to prove it to you guys? Well, you got to do it consistently. You got to do it throughout the game. So many times we'll see about a 5-minute stretch where Jamal just goes off and can score 10 plus, 15 maybe, and that's amazing. And he looks unstoppable. He looks like one of the best players in the NBA. Then he goes away. That shouldn't happen to a great player, who I think Jamal can be a great player. That shouldn't happen to a great player that much. So we'll see how he does in the finals. Still a very young guy. So this experience is only going to make him better for the next few years. KCP, not blowing anybody away on the scoreboard, but you know, just the fight this guy shows. I mean, he's getting hit in the mouth. He's bleeding to start, what was that, game two? He's coming in. He got in foul trouble in game three, but still kind of still stayed on the sidelines to rally the troops, comes in and makes some big plays late. Michael Porter Jr., I think, has been a very quiet player, and I don't really mean that in a bad way. His defense has been much better. In many cases, I would say some of his defensive stops were great. But, you know, his points, he's been around the 15 to 17 points per game. But he's just been solid, and he keeps shooting. A lot of times in the past where if he would miss a lot of threes early, he's quiet, you're going to lose him for the rest of the game. But I think mentally he has checked in. Aaron Gordon, what can you say about this guy? Defended Karl Anthony Towns, defended Kevin Durant, defended LeBron James. Now could be going up against potentially, I don't know, would he go up against Jimmy Butler? I don't know about that, but we'll see. But he's been tremendous. And just so many other guys that they needed to step up. The way this is supposed to work is Joker's the consistent, the triple-double machine. Jamal Murray's going to come up with spectacular stretches. KCP is sound from the three-point line. Michael Porter Jr. has to play better defense. He's doing that. And then he can hit some big, timely threes. Aaron Gordon, aggressive defense. You're not counting on him to score 20 points. And that's when it works together. Oh, yeah, and by the way, there's this guy named Bruce Brown coming off the bench, who is a one-man bench, essentially. Sixth man of the year should be, all that stuff. I know there's a lot of great six men, but he was definitely, especially in these playoffs, he has raised his performance, and that has been huge. That's been a difference maker. Bruce Brown's been solid. Jeff Green, experience. He's been playing 15 minutes a game or so. Again, not going to blow anybody away with his performance, but that's kind of where you are in the trust factor. You trust that guy to just come in, maybe eat some fouls up. Maybe you can pop a three once in a blue moon, but you're not looking at him as necessarily a big difference maker on the floor. And Christian Brown played a lot throughout these playoffs. He did not play in game four, the rookie, but I do think that was a case of, Christian, your minutes are going to be taken by the starters. We're going to give the starters those minutes because we want to close this out. Murray played 43. Joker played 45. Porter 41. Gordon 41. KCP 39. So they're going to eat the rest of those minutes, those, you know, 10 to 12 to 13 minutes that Christian Brown would normally see in a playoff game, at least as we know it now. So found a way to do it. You sweep the Lakers. It's historic. First finals ever. Now we ask the question, who are they playing and what does that matchup look like? Boston and Miami. Boston was the number two seed. And I just assumed it was going to be either Boston or Milwaukee. We all know what happened with Milwaukee. But this Miami Heat team has something special as well. They are continuing to fight and find ways to shut the narrative down because they were kind of a forgotten team. They were a play-in team. But Boston did what they are supposed to do, and they won the last two games pretty easily, too. They won last night 110-97. Jimmy Butler, just 14 points for him. 0 for 2 from the three-point line, 5 for 10. Was not very active in that game. And then, of course, you're seeing Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Derek White, all three of those guys in the 20s last night. So big performances from Boston. The thing with Miami that's kind of scary for them is with their injury situation. And that was a big impact for that game last night. Gabe Vincent, who is averaging 17 points a game in this series, he missed last night's game because of an ankle. He's now listed as day-to-day. Tyler Hero, who we know has been out forever, but he was cleared to resume non-contact basketball work this week. Is he going to find a way to play in this series? I don't think so, but could he be available for the Nugget series? Potentially. Then they're also doing it without Victor Oladipo, who, you know, I mean, there's no timetable for his return. He won't be back until next season, if not late into the season. But they're doing all this without him. So Miami should definitely, they should be a very respected team. However, if it does come down to Miami and Denver, then yeah, I think they win this thing in five. Boston's scary. I mean, which Boston are you getting? If it's Boston, I could see it going seven. I could see it going six. I like Denver to win. I've said it all year. Denver's going to win a championship this year. But the matchups against Boston pose more of a threat than they do against Miami. Boston's a little bit bigger. Their defense should be a little bit better. You know, and Al Horford, it just kind of depends. He can be a difference maker at times when he comes in. He started the other night for this team. So what would that matchup do for Nikola Jokic? Probably not much. But you do still look at their big men and just how they could try to body up Nikola Jokic, make it tough on him, That would be the interesting one, because like Robert Williams, he's not the greatest player in the world, but he's one of those big-bodied centers that could provide some problems. But I still think Joker's going to be the key in all of this, because I don't see anybody, any centers or big power forwards going to be able to slow the Joker down. All right, so that's going to do it for us. We're going to be back at it. I'll break something down next week, because we will find out who that's going to be. So then we can really dive into the matchups, who's going to guard who. What does a guy like Marcus Smart, if Boston finds a way to win, how can he affect this game? I've always been a big Marcus Smart fan. He's finding, you know, when he's finding his offense, he is a very tough player, because we all know about his defensive ability. So we go tomorrow night, Saturday night, Boston, Miami. Can Boston force a game seven? That will be very interesting to see. So next week, we will know who the matchup's going to be. We won't see this game one until Thursday, and then we can break it all down from there. I'm also at some point going to do a podcast about kind of noting the career of Carmelo Anthony. So at some point, maybe at the end of the season, we'll do that, whatever, because we know Carmelo Anthony announced his retirement. Yes, I do think the timing is weird. It is kind of a Carmelo Anthony thing to do, but that does not take away what he did as a Denver Nugget in his eight seasons as a Nugget. We're going to talk about that in a podcast soon to come. Be sure to tune into the whole show. I'm on every weekday, 11 to 2, on 103.1 FM if you're in the Greeley area, 1310 KFK AM if you're throughout northern Colorado, pockets of Denver as well. Or if you're not in Colorado at all, you can listen to us on 1310kfka.com. So let's get after it, folks. Let's get after it. Nuggets are there. First time ever. They're in the finals. Now we play the waiting game, and we'll see what happens there. We'll talk at you next week. Let's go, Nuggets.